Most people are usually excited about Memorial Day because it signals a 3-day holiday. But in reality, there's a lot more to it than that. Memorial Day was originally known as Decoration Day because it was set aside to honor the nation's Civil War dead by decorating their graves. It was first widely observed on May 30, 1868, to commemorate the sacrifices of the Civil War soldiers by proclamation of General John A. Logan of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was an organization of former sailors and soldiers. During the first celebration of Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, after which 5,000 participants helped to decorate the graves of more than 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried in the cemetery. This 1868 celebration was inspired by local observances of the day in several towns throughout America that had taken place in the 3 years since the Civil War. In 1966, the federal government, under the direction of President Lyndon Johnson, declared Waterloo, New York, the official birthplace of Memorial Day. They chose Waterloo, which had first celebrated the day on May 5, 1866, because the town had made Memorial Day an annual community-wide event, during which businesses closed and residents decorated the graves of soldiers with flowers and flags. By the late 1800s, many communities had begun to celebrate Memorial Day. After World War I, many observed and began to honor those who had died in all the American wars, and in 1971, Congress declared Memorial Day a national holiday to be celebrated the last Monday in May. Veterans Day, a day set aside to honor all veterans living and dead, is celebrated each year on November 11.
Barb, what is today? I noticed there was a lot of flags on the side of the road.
It's Armed Forces Day today.
And did you remember what I was wearing?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute. In 1950, inspired by the poem In Flanders Fields, Moina Michel wrote a poem in reply called, "We cherish too the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies." She then conceived the idea to wear red poppies on Memorial Day in honor of those who die during war. She was the first one to wear one and sold poppies to her friends and co-workers with the money going to benefit servicemen in need. In 1922, the VFW became the first veteran group to nationally sell poppies. 2 years later, their Poppy Buddy program was selling artificial poppies made by disabled servicemen. Where did you find yours?
We grow poppies in our yard, and Barb looked out and said, "Oh my goodness, we got one red poppy. Why don't you pick it and wear it on your lapel today?" And so, sure enough, we had one red poppy getting ahead of itself, so that's why I wore this poppy today in remembrance of this talk.
Today, Memorial Day is celebrated at Arlington National Cemetery with a ceremony in which a small American flag is placed on each grave. Also, it is customary for the president or vice president to give a speech honoring the contributions of the dead and lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier.
2 years ago, when we toured France, when our daughter was over in France, one of the common flower along the road was a red poppy. It was just like a wild rose here in America. After World War I and World War II, red poppies became synonymous with Memorial Day and Veterans Day.
Here are some interesting facts about America's wars.
The first war was in the 18th century and was called the American Revolution. It lasted from 1775 to 1783. It took place mainly on the eastern seaboard of North America. It ended on September 3, 1783, when the Treaty of Paris was signed. There were approximately 4,435 American casualties.
Next was the War of 1812. It went from 1812 to 1815. It took place in Canada, the eastern seaboard of the U.S., the Great Lakes, and Lake Champlain. It ended with the Treaty of Ghent, signed on December 24, 1812. Unaware of the treaty, General Andrew Jackson engaged and crushed the British at New Orleans 2 weeks after the treaty had been signed. American casualties of that war were around 2,260.
The Mexican War was next, and it went from 1846 to 1848. It was fought in Mexico and the southwestern U.S., including modern-day Texas, California, and New Mexico. It ended with the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which was signed on February 2, 1848. American loss of lives, 13,283.
Perhaps the most devastating war was next. The Civil War was fought from 1861 to 1865. It was fought primarily in the eastern half of the U.S., or east of the Mississippi. It finally ended on April 9, 1865, when Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant at the small settlement of Appomattox Courthouse in southwestern Virginia on April 9, 1865. This war cost the Union forces 646,512 men, while the Confederates lost 133,821 soldiers. So that was news to me, that the Union lost almost 5-1 over the Confederate soldiers.
The next war to take place was the Spanish-American War, which was short-lived comparatively. It lasted from April 25 to August 12, 1898. It ended with the signing of the Treaty of Paris. Its casualties were around 13,280.
Moving into the 20th century, we next have World War I, which was from 1914 to 1918. Its location was the Atlantic Ocean and also Europe. It ended with the Treaty of Versailles, which was signed on June 28, 1919. American casualties, 116,708.
Next, we have World War II, which was supposed to be the war to end all wars. That war is the war my father fought in. It went from 1939 to 1945. It took place from Europe to North Africa, Asia, Australia, and the Pacific Islands, including Hawaii. The Atlantic and Pacific Oceans were also areas of attack. It didn't end until Japan, the last large Axis power, surrendered on August 14, 1945, after the U.S. dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Again, American casualties were enormous at 407,316.
Not long after World War II, we entered into the Korean conflict. My father fought in this war. It went from 1950 to 1953. It took place in North and South Korea until it reached a stalemate in June of 1951. A ceasefire finally took place in July of 1953. American casualties were 36,512.
Vietnam followed in Southeast Asia from 1954 to 1973. When we finally reached a ceasefire in 1973, we had already lost 58,193 men, and it was a miracle that I wasn't in that war.
The Persian Gulf War was in August of 1990 until April 1991 in Iraq and Kuwait, and it ended quickly after a four-day ground invasion by American troops. There were 148 soldiers who died in that war.
Finally, that brings us up to the 21st century and the war on terrorism that is currently being fought. It begins on October of 2001 after the 9/11 attacks against the United States. About 3,000 civilians died during the attack on the Twin Towers, and so far 2,406 young Americans have given their lives to maintain our freedom.
What a loss of lives during the short span of our country's existence. Unfortunately, traditional observance of Memorial Day has diminished over the years. Many Americans have forgotten the meaning and tradition of the holiday. They just think it's the beginning of summer and a three-day weekend. To help remember and re-educate Americans of the true meaning of the holiday, a resolution was passed on December of 2000, which asks that at 3 p.m. all Americans voluntarily and informally observe in their own way a moment of silence, or that they listen to the song Taps. So why the song Taps? Well, it also has an interesting history. This is the legend of it. It all began in 1862 during the Civil War when Union Army Captain Robert Ellicombe was with his men near Harris's Landing in Virginia. The Confederate Army was on the side of a narrow strip of land. During the night, Captain Ellicombe heard the moans of a soldier who lay mortally wounded on the field. Not knowing if it was a Union or Confederate soldier, the captain decided to risk his life and bring the stricken man back for medical attention. Crawling on his stomach through gunfire, the captain reached the stricken soldier and began pulling him toward his encampment. When the captain finally reached his own line, he discovered it was actually a Confederate soldier, and he was already dead. The captain lit a lantern and suddenly caught his breath and went numb with shock. In the dim light, he saw the face of the soldier. It was his own son. The boy had been studying music in the South when the war broke out. Without telling his father, he enlisted in the Confederate Army. The following morning, heartbroken, the father asked permission of his supervisor to give his son a full military burial, despite his enemy status. His request was partially granted. The captain had asked if he could have a group of Army band members play a funeral song for his son. This request was turned down since the soldier was a Confederate, but out of respect for his father, they did say he could have one musician. The captain chose a bugler. He asked the bugler to play a series of musical notes he'd found on a piece of paper in the pocket of the dead youth's uniform. This wish was granted. The haunting melody we know as Taps is now used at military funerals. So in conclusion, we want to urge all of you to remember our militaries and the lives that were sacrificed to ensure that you enjoy the freedoms of America. And most of all, we don't want to forget the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, who fought the greatest battle of all, the battle against Satan, so that one day we can celebrate the grandest Memorial Day of all, the Resurrection Day, when sin, sadness, and the loss of lives are no more.